This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
The balance of the Saturday afternoon deliverance service of May the 2nd, 1988, at the Passover weekend camp meeting at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Second chapter of 2 Timothy, and we will start at the 21st verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You want to be an honorable vessel for the Lord, full of Jesus, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, somebody that Jesus can use. You know, now if you go out and commit the same sins again that you have gotten free from today, you'll get 7 times worse, first of all. That devil will go and get 7 more, so you'll get 8 altogether. So I think that would put the fear of God in all of us, not to redo what we've been delivered of. We want to be used of the Lord, don't we? And prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them recompense to the acknowledging of the truth. I want you to pay particularly, and listen now. Listen up, as the young kids say. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That should put the fear of God in everybody. Now, we've had a very few, but quite a few, this past year of visual aids of the enemy, right on TV and in the news. It was totally the enemy working. And the recent escapade in Baton Rouge, you see, he tried to recover himself out of the snare of the devil, but the devil took him captive at his will when he had a probably too tired, weak, but he said he was molested when he was a little boy. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about incest and also the curse of the bastard. Now, the Moody's have a tremendous tape back there, and also we put the tape, put it in a book, and they've added some to it, on inherited sexual sins. Now, those go back, believe it or not, 10 generations or 400 years. Curses put on it. 400 years. How many know what their great-grandfather did? You go back 10 generations, that's approximately 400 years. That's where we get the 400 years from. You see, Satan will study you and study you and watch you. And many times we've cast out spirits and they've said, don't make me go, I've been in here since she was 5 years old. Or I came into her the day she was born. Or even when she was conceived. And if you have been molested as a child, that's no longer the closet demon anymore. He's being revealed. Even Dear Abby has talked quite a bit about that. There's a lot of little children being molested now, and Satan is coming down with all of his fury. The Word of God says that they could not enter into the tabernacle in the Old Testament if they were a bastard. How many know what a bastard child is? As an illegitimate child. Or they couldn't enter in if they were of incest. Now, who in the Bible, see how smart you Bible scholars are, who in the Bible gave birth to incest children? Lot's daughters by their own father. Now, that's, we all say, oh, that's terrible. And you know, that's getting to be very common here in America. And we have to face it from the pulpit, evidently. We have hid it long enough. And Jean and Earlene have a tremendous book back there. Now, we're almost out of the curse of the bastard. We're praying another 1,000. But if they're out of it back there today, by all means order it. Or I think we've got the tapes back there. And also, the inherited sexual sin. If your father was an adulterer, then that is born in you, in your bloodline, and you are weak in that area to succumb to the enemy. If you've had divorce in your family, and your mother and dad were divorced, and your grandparents were divorced, and back and back and back, you need to have the curse of divorce broken off of you. You understand why? There's so many divorces, and as Brother Harris said this morning, there's as many divorces in the churches today as there is in the world. Now, that had not ought to be, he said. Now, we all know that. It should not be. So when you young people get married, you better pray and pray and pray for the Lord to give you the right mate. And then being married is hard enough when you got the right mate. It ain't easy to be married. Admit it. It isn't, is it? We have to give and take and give and take and give and take. Now, Grant and I have been married about 47 years, but we've had a lot of giving and taking. But I believe the Lord put us together. Do you think so, Hank?
I'm sure.
But make sure you know who you're marrying, and if they have a like spirit of loving Jesus, loving the Holy Spirit, loving the workings of the Lord, make very sure, because life is living every daily. Every day. Living is very daily, is what I'm trying to get out of here. Living is very daily. We breathe every day and live. So you may as well breathe in happiness instead of all kinds of turmoil. And if you girls go out and marry an unsaved boy, or you boys go and marry an unsaved girl thinking that later they'll get saved, they'll drag you down. 9 times out of 10, they will drag you down. I don't care how many promises they make, and I don't care how many times they come into church with you trying to make you believe that they want to be a Christian. But after you get married, if this is not settled before the marriage, oftentimes, is that right? There'll be a divorce. And we don't want that among Christians.
Or hell on earth
is right. We have so many. We had a letter this week that was so glorious, I was shouting all over. This girl said, we came down to Lake Hamilton this past winter, I think about a year ago. I can't remember. We have so many people coming and going. I forget what kind of spirits all of you have, so don't try to come up and say, you remember when you cast that out of me, because I won't remember probably. But she said, I had already filed for divorce. Now, I don't think we knew that at the time, but we prayed for their marriage, and we prayed for each one of them individually. I like to take them through and ask them right point-blank questions, these people that are having marital problems. Have you committed adultery? Did you commit fornication before you got married? Do you indulge in oral sex? I mean, you've got to get down to the nitty-gritty, or Satan will hang on in some area. We went through everything, and then we started casting it out, the spirits. And I didn't know, you know, when they leave, you hope that everything is going to be all right between them. And she wrote a letter, and she said, our marriage, I called off the divorce. Our marriage is so wonderful. We read the Bible together. We pray together. Our home is coming into shape. Don't you think we ought to thank the Lord? Praise you, Jesus. 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 Now, you see, this scripture plainly says that if we know we've got these things in us and we don't repent and ask somebody to pray with us, oftentimes our pride, we want everybody to think how religious we are and how good we are. Oh, there's nothing too much good in us except Jesus that's in us. And Satan will come and get you. I want to put the fear of God in you. I mean, every seed of the enemy has got to be, you've got to get purified, because when the great tribulation hits and Satan comes down with all of his fury, where do you think you're going to be? Like, we got this cartoon, and somebody put under it, this evil spirit came in, and Grandma and Grandpa are sitting here, a couple, and they said, quick, call Glenn and Irma. But Glenn and Irma might not, their line might be busy. Or he might be out of town. the Murdys might be out of town. Don't depend always on somebody else praying for you. You get on your own knees and start praying. And then start fighting evil. You overcome evil by what? Doing good. Got to fight these things. If you are one to be a gluttonous overeater, then start taking half portions and get up from the table not overstuffed. If you're one to drink liquor, you better throw all of it out and forget about it. It's going to drive you to hell. And hell is real. I think it isn't. And if you don't think eternity is a long time, if you want to see how hell feels, turn on your burner and lay your hand on it for half an hour. Well, you can't even keep it on a second. I'm telling you, this is serious. And we don't want Satan. How many want Satan to come and take them captive at his will? See, he found something in Brother Swagger that he could touch. And he came after him. But he's repented, and he's being delivered. Praise God. And we don't want that to happen to any of you or myself. Every day I'm asking the Lord, deliver me, Lord. Show me things. After I finished praying for that lady up there, I went up there and I said, deliver me, Lord, for whatever this is. I felt something strike me right here. I was praying for her. I don't know what it was. And I commanded it to come out, and it came out, whatever it was. You know, he likes to latch onto you. Now, Glenn, are you ready? We need to pray for all these infirmities and religious spirits. I can't stand too much religion. You know what I mean? Religious, I'm so religious. I'm so pure. Don't touch me. I'm so pure. I'm so good. Well, shall we go at them? What else is religious spirit? I've always gone to the church where Mother went. Traditions, all kinds of traditions. You've got to come out of all this stuff. Come out of her, my people. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. All kinds of false doctrines. I had to have, and I'm not coming against the Assemblies of God. That's my heritage. But I really had to have an Assembly of God spirit cast out of me. Now, I didn't know I had it. The man of God saw it. Because we always were taught and believed that we were the only ones going to heaven, the only church. The Baptist church sat over in the corner, on one corner, and the Christian church sat over on the other. And they would preach from the pulpit. You know, all they have is a handshake religion and blah, blah, blah. And I just believed this from a little girl, that the Assemblies of God were the only ones going to be in heaven. Now, how absurd is that? But see, that was a spirit telling me that. And I had to have that cast out. We have cast out many Catholic spirits out of people. Most every denomination that you've been hooked into real strong, you need deliverance from it. You need to look to Jesus, not to our denomination. What's some other religious spirits? Baptist spirits, yes. Baptist people are wonderful. They know the word. I tell you, those Baptist preachers, they make really good deliverance preachers because they know the word so well. But they have some things that are false. Just like every church has something good about it, but they have something false. And if you're so wound up with that one church and you won't go to any other church, then that's the religious spirit's got a hold of you. I think one of the biggest sins among ministries today is they don't want to listen to any other minister preach. That is terribly critical. I don't mean they criticize. I don't mean they're critical. That is a critical condition to get in, that they don't want to hear anybody else. Or maybe only their own denomination. I know a lot of preachers that won't allow anybody in their pulpit. Nobody. No, they don't. No, they don't want you to go either. You're in bondage. All these bondages we have. And fears. How many people have fears? Sure. All kinds of fears. Fear of death and fear of this and fear of that. You need to get rid of those. Those come from the occult, too. Fear comes from the occult. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to forgive us. First, we ask him to forgive us and cleanse us with the blood. And then that demon in there doesn't have much of a chance. He doesn't like to be down there where the blood of Jesus is. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Amen. for all of our traditional thinking and teaching that was not of you. We thank you for all the good that was of you. We ask you to take out all prejudice from us. All words that we've spoken to put people in hell because of their denomination. Lord, we just ask you to forgive us and take away all these bondages and all these religious spirits. Deliver us from them, Lord, and cleanse us by your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Now we command every evil spirit that is not of God to come out now in Jesus' name. All the denominational spirits and traditions that's not of God, we command all these to come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All eternal security spirits, all super religious spirits, in the name of Jesus, all Catholic spirits, all Catholic spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Pray to Mary and pray to the Pope. Fear of the Pope. All idolatrous spirits, idolizing the pastor, not wanting to hear anybody else but one certain preacher, listening to too many tapes by the same person. In the name of Jesus, we command all these spirits to come out. Come out. Church of Christ spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Catholic spirits, come out. Assembly of God spirits, come out. Pentecostal holiness, all the holiness, thinking, come out. It's not of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Nazarene spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Nazarene spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Traditions of the elders, that's not of God, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I appreciate every church. I don't want you to get this wrong. I appreciate every church that's preaching Jesus and getting people saved. But I don't appreciate the bondages that they lay on people and the traditions that has been handed down. There's a lot of traditions over baptism. You know, water baptism, baptizing three times face first, and a lot of things like that. Jesus just walked down to John the Baptist and he said, baptize me. And John the Baptist kind of hesitated because he was the Son of God, but he baptized him and that was it. And if you haven't been baptized in water, you need to be baptized in water. In the summer camps, we always have a baptism. How many's never been baptized in water? I mean, put under, immersed. Usually in the summer, there's a lot of people that, well, some of them even get saved here in the summer at the camp, and Glenn baptizes them. Usually about 7 to 10 people every camp meeting. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. How many here have infirmities today? Everybody that has any kind of infirmity, stand up. Everybody that has an infirmity in their body. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We come against all the spirits of arthritis in the name of Jesus. We cast out that bitterness spirit in the name of Jesus. All bitterness, come out. And arthritis spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Diabetes spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Diabetes spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Hypoglycemia, all diseases of the pancreas, come out. Cancer of the pancreas, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of cancer, come out. Come out of the throat, out of the lungs. All powers from cigarette smoking, the sting of death, of cancer in your lungs, if you've been a smoker, get it out now in Jesus' name. Sting of death, come off of these people. Sting of death, come off in Jesus' name. Sting of death, come off in Jesus' name. sting of death, come off in Jesus' name. Come out of their lungs in Jesus' name. All cancerous spirits, come out of their lungs in Jesus' name. Come out, cancer, in Jesus' name. Command you to come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now. All sinus trouble, all weakness in the body, any place in the body, spirit of weakness, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of weakness, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of weakness, come out in Jesus' name. Rindalabakasandaya. All spirits of weakness, all spirits of, name your disease, name whatever it is wrong with you. Psoriasis, the skin disease, come off of them in Jesus' name. Drop off, heal up in Jesus' name. Heal up in Jesus' name. Okay, what else? Hiatal hernia. We command that to release itself and go to position where it belongs in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands on her. The hernia. In the name of Jesus. Hiatal hernia. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All infirmity. In the name of Jesus. What else? Real loud. I can't hear you. Cancer. What else? What's wrong with you, honey? Infirmity. Her elbow. Pain in her elbow. Let's come against the spirit of pain. Spirit of pain, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of pain, come out in Jesus' name. Multiple sclerosis spirits, come out in Jesus' name. All multiple sclerosis spirits, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of ulcers, come out. Ulcers, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of ulcers, come out. Can you pray for her like this? All spirits of ulcers, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of ulcers, come out in Jesus' name. Am I talking too loud? Oh, can't they hear me? Yes, off. Migraine headaches, come out in Jesus' name. Everybody that has pain in their head. Pains in your head, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of pain, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of pain, come out in Jesus' name. Alcoholism, come out in Jesus' name. Gluttony spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Overeating spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Heart trouble, all kinds of heart trouble. Put your hand on your heart and command that to leave in Jesus' name. Command those arteries to open up. Command all stroke spirits to get out of you in Jesus' name. All stroke spirits, all arteries that are closed off, all blood diseases in the name of Jesus. All blood diseases in the name of Jesus. All blood diseases in the name of Jesus. Everything. All senility. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave these people in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. All spirits of nervousness, all diseases of nervousness, go in Jesus' name. Nervous stomach. Nerves in the back of your neck. Pain in the back of your neck from nerves being pinched in the name of Jesus. We command you to go. Command you to leave in Jesus' name. Can you?
I thank you, Father, for all that's been done for your people this afternoon. I praise you for it. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area of every vessel. I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area of every vessel this afternoon. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every spirit. I bind them that they'll to the day of judgment. And Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord to take them and keep them until Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Praise be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You can be seated, and those that's being prayed with, just don't stop praying. But I'm just going to talk for a while. We've had deliverance this afternoon, good deliverance, wonderful deliverance. So I'm going to talk a little bit. I noticed here when we were reading there in 2 Timothy, I'm just going to make a short comment about what I happened to see there. I've got marked in my Bible under the second chapter of 2 Timothy, 7 admonitions to Timothy from Paul. So I'm just going to look down here where I've got them marked and just give them to you. Give you a minute to find 2 Timothy chapter 2 and get your pencil if you want to if you want to mark these things, because they're very good. Paul is instructing Timothy, who he considered to be his spiritual son. And he's telling him so that he will carry on the work that the Lord had given Paul, and now it's come down to the time when somebody's going to have to carry that on, and Paul is relying basically on Timothy. And here he says, Therefore, my son, he says, first to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So first he says to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, and then to be strong and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 5, he says, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So it's all right to strive to achieve to a position or a place, as long as it is done lawfully, with the right intent and attitude towards what you're striving for. You're striving that God, through Jesus Christ, in you will be glorified. You're striving that Jesus will be glorified. So he's telling him that it's okay for him to strive to be a mastery of some situation, as long as it's done, that God will be and Jesus will be glorified, that he does it lawfully. Then, in verse 15, and this is very important. I quote this lots and lots of times. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to study, we're to strive to do that. Now, there's a good thing to strive for. Strive to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, hiding the word of the Lord in our heart, so that we're able to say, it is written. And with that authority, that's the only authority that we really have against Satan. It is written. That's the only authority Jesus had. Even though he was the Son of God, he was Creator. His authority was only, it is written. And that's my authority and your authority. It is written. And some of you young people who've got minds that can retain things, study the Word of the Lord, hide it in your heart so that in an instant of time you can say, it is written. Your recall is sharp. And the recall comes back against every situation with a scripture. It is written. Then, in verse 20, there's another thing. There's a great house. And in that house, there are many vessels. But there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. So in God's great house, we're to strive to be a vessel of honor. A vessel of gold and silver. And brass is a vessel of judgment. And God's got to have some brass vessels. He's got to have vessels that bring the judgment. So some of us may be a combination of gold and brass, or silver and brass, or gold, silver, and brass. But there has to be, God's judgment has to come, and we have to be able to stand faithfully if we're called upon to be in the house of the Lord, to be a vessel that brings honor in the right place that he's called us to. And then in verse 23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Don't try to find fault with everything you hear. Don't try to pick it apart. There are some people who find fault with anything they hear. They find fault with it. God says, don't avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do nothing but gender strife. So don't be one who brings strife to the body of Christ. A lot of things I don't understand. Maybe some things I don't agree with. But I don't cause confusion with it or cause strife with it. I wait and I study and I think, and a lot of things that I haven't agreed with, today I agree with. A lot of things I didn't understand, today I understand. But that doesn't mean that I understand everything yet today, because I don't. But I don't cause confusion and bring strife in the body of Christ because I don't understand something. Or I don't say that somebody's teaching error because I don't understand it. Now, if the Spirit of the Lord lays on me, that's different. There are some things that I know are error, and I will not permit them to be taught and talked about from this pulpit. And if you or any other person gets up here and starts to talk about some of those things, I'll get up here and stop you. I've done it before, and I'll do it again if I know that it's error. If it's something that I don't understand or don't quite agree with, maybe it's right, maybe it's not, I'm not going to cause confusion about it. I'm not going to get up here and contradict the person who spoke about it. We'll let that work in my heart and your heart and let the Lord take care of that. If somebody gets up here and starts to teach ultimate reconciliation or Jesus died spiritually or some of these other things, I'll get up here and stop you instantly. Let that be so on the record. And that's so we send out a letter to all the prospective, most all the prospective speakers who ever come here, those who we for some reason write a letter to, or somebody writes to us and tells us that they'd be good to have. And we answer, there's a lot of people that write to us and say this person or that person would be a good speaker for the camp meeting. And maybe we feel that maybe they would. We don't always respond to all of it, but some of them we do. We'll write them a letter and ask them for a tape of their that they've got or something. And we have a 2-page letter then that we send, a form letter that we send along with the letter, the personal letter that we may write to them. It tells some of the things that we believe here at the campground. And some things that we will not permit here at the campground. 2 pages full of it. And those happen to be a couple of the items that happen to be in there, plus a few more. So, I'm easy to get along with. I'm not hard to get along with. But some places, when it comes to the end of the road, that's the end of the road. And not very many people have seen that side of me, but it's still there. And there are a few who have. And I hope there's nobody else does, but if it happens, it happens. We bodily put one man out of this place one day. Bodily put him outside. I don't know if there happens to be anybody here right now who was here that day that happened, but we literally did that. He had a very, very religious spirit. He had a religious spirit so big that it was 4 or 5 times bigger than him. And anybody who sat in here that didn't have long sleeves on was going to hell. Anybody who was in here who had who didn't have a dress on down halfway to at least halfway to the ankles was a Jezebel, and she wasn't saved. Yeah. And I told him to sit down, and he wouldn't sit down. I told him to be still, and he was out of order. And he said, "I'm a prophet of God, and you'll not tell me to sit down." I said, "I happen to be the one God put in charge here. I'm the priest of this place, and I will tell you to sit down." And I said, "Furthermore, I'm going to ask you to leave." And he said, "Well, then you make me leave, because I won't leave. God sent me here, and I'm his prophet." I said, "You're not God's prophet to this place." And he wasn't. And we bodily put him out of the building. That's just an extreme circumstance. I hope that never happens again. It hasn't happened before nor since. But I'll stand up to it if it's necessary. Well, anyway, we're not to strive and ask foolish questions and do things that cause strife. That's the second chapter of Timothy, Paul teaching Timothy, who was Paul was believing would take up his place and carry on. This is what the world knows as Easter weekend. So I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes. Here again now. I'm not here to cause strife or do anything. And if you don't agree with me, what I'm going to say here the next few minutes doesn't bother me one bit. And I hope that you don't get upset at me and it bothers you. Because if you don't agree with me, that's perfectly all right. I'm not here to cause any, I'm just here to stir you up, to make you consider what I'm going to talk about here a little bit. And then it's up to you. You're responsible for it. You're responsible after that. And I'm not going to have any hard feelings against you or causing any strife or anything like that, because there was a day, like you all know, that I've already said several times, that these things were contrary to what I believed. What I'm going to talk about right now, the next few minutes, is contrary to some of the things, because tradition taught me. See, tradition taught me. It's just like tradition tells us that Jesus was crucified yesterday and he rose tonight. Well, any child can tell, can take the Bible, any child can take the Bible and know that that's not true. Any child can take the Bible and know that that's not true. Because the Bible plainly states that as Noah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so would the Son of God be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And there's no way that Friday till this evening is 3 days and three nights. So Jesus could not have been crucified yesterday, and he could not have risen from the dead this evening or tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. No way. So you can sit down and figure that out for yourself. So I'm going to talk about some more things that relate just today to what we have come by tradition to call Easter, which to me is the word is an abomination. I don't like the word Easter, and because it's an abomination to God. I like, this is Passover time. Passover time. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to, and this little book that I'm going to read this out of to you is taken from history, and every pastor, and every church worker, and every person, really, should at least read this book, Babylon Mystery Religion. And if you want to study this, if you want to study it, then you should read Two Babylons. It's over there. It's a big book. It's a big book like this. And it's a study book. It has all the things carried out and the historical facts, where you can go to the library and find all the historical facts and things of that matter. Amen. Most of what I'm going to read to you here, you can get your Encyclopedia Britannica and find the same thing. Now, I do not believe that Jesus died on a cross. That may startle a lot of you. Maybe he did. But I don't think that he did. I think he died on a tree. And a tree is different than a cross. A cross and a tree are not the same thing. And I believe that Jesus died on a tree. A cross has a history that goes clear back. Well, I'll read a little bit of it to you here. But I believe that Jesus died this way, like this and like this, with two nails, one through both wrists, not through his hands, through both wrists, and through just below the ankle bone of both feet. And I believe that he carried his own tree. Until Simon came along and helped bear it. That's what I believe, and that's what I believe history shows. And I believe that the cross has become a mockery to God, because they've still got him on the cross everywhere around the world. And Jesus is alive. He's living. He's not on a cross. He's risen. Hallelujah. Glory. He's a risen Savior. These two books, both of these two books, go in great detail about the origin of the cross and that. But I do not personally. Now, if you believe that he did, that's all right. But I personally do not believe that. I'm going to read to you here, and you can find this in the Encyclopedia
to. If the cross is a Christian symbol, it cannot be correctly said that its origin was within Christianity. For in one form or another, it was a sacred symbol long before the Christian era and among many non-Christian peoples. According to an expository dictionary of New Testament works, the cross originated among the Babylonians of ancient Chaldea. The equistical form of a two-beam cross had its origin in ancient Chaldea and was used as a symbol of the god Tammuz. Now, do you all know who Tammuz was? He was the son of Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, by adultery. And she set him up to be a god, and the cross represents his name, Tammuz. And it represents the T of Tammuz is the cross, and that's where the cross, as far as history can find, where the cross originated. And you'll find in the Bible, I don't have the scripture here, it just came to me, but anyway, you'll find in the Bible where the women wept for Tammuz. And they had the symbol of the cross way back in Ezekiel, I believe it's in Ezekiel, where the women wept for Tammuz and way hundreds of years before Jesus, and they had this symbol of the cross and held it Hebrew women were worshiping a heathen god and had a cross, worshiping a cross, symbolizing Tammuz, who set up and became the first Christ child. He was the first Christ child, and she was the first mother. That's where the mother and Christ child comes from Semiramis and Tammuz, from Babylon, and just a 4 or 5 generations after Noah is where it comes from. Ezekiel 8:14. Thank you, Doc. Being in the shape of the mystic Ptah, the initial for his name, in that country and in adjacent lands, including Egypt. In order to increase the prestige of the apostate ecclesiastical system, pagans were received into the churches apart from regeneration by faith and were permitted largely to retain their pagan signs and symbols, hence the cross or the Ta or T in its most frequent form with a cross piece Lord was adopted to stand for the cross of Christ. Doesn't say it was, it says it was adopted to stand for it. And this was done by the papal system of Rome, that this happened, that they did it. Now let's look at some more of the things concerning Easter. I'm just touching real lightly here, but we are bound in traditions, and we think that they're truth, and the errors of them cause us to err, and we become abomination to God because of our errors of our traditions. And the church is carrying on the traditions, and they are not standing up to show the error of it. Just like I cannot understand. Once I found this out, I cannot understand the churches standing up, I don't care what the denomination is, saying that Jesus was crucified on Friday. I just cannot understand that. When common sense tells you, just common plain sense tells you, that he could not have been crucified on Friday and rose on Sunday morning. It is absolutely impossible. And yet every church in the land almost says that. This is an abomination to God because it never happened. It's a lie. And we tell our children stories in Sunday school. Tell them lies. And the big church right up the street up here will have a big Easter egg hunt tomorrow morning for the Sunday school. And Easter bunnies all over the pulpit, for the one who brings in the most eggs, gets the most eggs from each class, will get a big Easter bunny. Big Pentecostal church right up the street. Okay, let's see about that. From where did Easter observance come? Did the early Christians dye Easter eggs? Did Peter or Paul ever conduct an Easter sunrise service? Of course they didn't. The answer is obvious. The word Easter appears once in the King James Version. Get your Bibles. Everybody get your Bible. Everybody get your Bible. The word Easter appears once in the King James Version. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Everybody got a pencil? Man, I fix every Bible I get my hands on. I remove that abominable word out of there because it doesn't belong there. It's not in the Scriptures. It is in the translation you're reading, but it is not in the Scriptures. intending after Easter to bring forth to the people. The word translated Easter here is Pascha, which is, as all Greek scholars know, the word that is used for Passover, Pascha. Scratch that word out and write Passover over it quick. That is an abominable word to God. It stands for Esther, the Queen of Heaven. The word Easter stands for Esther, the Queen of Heaven. There is no Queen of Heaven. And the Queen of Heaven, Esther, was Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, Tammuz's mother. She set herself up to be Queen of Heaven. And that's where the word Easter comes from. It's a derivative of her name. Goes clear back to Babylon. So you cross that abominable word out and write Passover there. The Greek word for Passover and has no connection with the English word Easter. It is well known that Easter is not a Christian expression, not in its original meaning. The word comes from the name of a pagan goddess. I just explained who that was. Astar. Okay. Like the word Easter, many of our customs at this season had their beginning among non-Christian religious orders. Easter eggs, for example, are colored, hid, hunted, and eaten, a custom done innocently today and often linked, but God's not innocent to God. God still holds us accountable. He said he'll not hold the innocent unaccountable. But this custom did not originate in Christianity. The egg was, however, a sacred symbol among the Babylonians who believed that an egg of wondrous size fell from heaven into the Euphrates River. And from this marvelous egg, according to the ancient story, the goddess Astar was hatched. And the egg came to symbolize the goddess of Easter. The ancient Druids bore an egg as a sacred symbol of their idolatrous order. And the procession of Ceres in Rome was preceded by an egg. In the mysteries of Bacchus, an egg was consecrated. China has dyed eggs for centuries in sacred festivals. Japan, an ancient custom was to make sacred eggs a brazen color. In northern Europe, in pagan times, eggs were colored and used as symbols of the goddess of spring. The Encyclopedia Britannica says that the egg is as a symbol of fertility and of renewed life that comes back to the eternal to the ancient Egyptians and Persians, who had also a custom of coloring and eating eggs during the spring festival. How, then, did this custom come to be associated with Christianity? Apparently, some sought to Christianize the egg by suggesting that as a chick comes out of the egg, so Christ came out of the tomb. Pope Paul V appointed a prayer in this connection. And he prayed, "Bless, O Lord, we beseech you, this thy creature creation of the eggs, that it may become wholesome substance for thy servants, eating in remembrance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ." An abomination to God. Finally, one more concept about Easter. The rabbit is a pagan symbol and has always been an emblem of fertility. Like the Easter egg, the Easter hare, says the Encyclopedia Britannica. All you got to do is read the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's all there. Secular history's got the whole thing there. And we're so dumb that we take all this and say it belongs to God. Swine had spewed us out of his mouth a long time ago for all the pagan customs that we've said belong to him. His mercy. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for it. The Encyclopedia Britannica says that it came to Christianity from antiquity. The hare is associated with the moon in the legends of Egypt and other peoples, through the fact that the Egyptian word for hare, means also an opening or the period. The ministerial time of a woman. The hare came to be associated with the idea of, being prolific, both lunar and human, and with the beginning of a new life in both a young man and a young woman, and so a symbol of fertility and of the renewal of life. As such, the hare became linked with the Easter eggs through through fertility and the reproduction. Thus, both the Easter rabbit and the Easter egg were symbols of sexual activity and symbols of fertility. You want some Easter bunnies? Want some Easter eggs? God forbid. The abomination that we brought into the household of faith. Well, that's, since this is that time of year, we need to hear about some of the things that we apply to this time of year and try to make it godly. And that's only His mercy that's allowed this, that it's gone on these many years. But yet, that book over there, there are two Babylons, I didn't know about it. It's, of course, the churches wouldn't have it in the church because it hurts. But that book's been out since in the late 40s, I believe. And this book here since the middle 50s or late 50s. And until the Lord started bringing us into, brought us into these things, did you never cross my mind that these things were, was problems with them? It's like Halloween and Valentine's and Christmas. They all got the same application as this. But anyway, there are some who will hear. And we'll change our ways. That we'll be a people that's holy unto the Lord. That His righteousness and His mercy and His grace in our ignorance shall be extended unto us. That we may walk before Him and be a holy and a righteous people for His name's sake. You go back to your churches and repeat what I've just said and they'll throw you out on your ear. That's right. That's right, they'll throw you out. Give you the left foot of whatever. That's right. But we have to separate ourselves. God says, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate. Come out of her, my people, and be ye separate. And to those that the Lord will use in the day of the kingdom will be those who stand up and come out of her, my people, and be separate. I want to be one that God can trust and use. I want to be one that in the kingdom age, I'll be willing to be willing. Whatever is needed. If it's just the janitor someplace, I'll be happy. I'll be happy. I want to be one of those of the first resurrection that attain unto that place in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you've never read Fox's Book of Moses, you should read it. Because you and I have the possibility, yes, of facing the same thing that the Christians, what they've called the Dark Ages, went through. But to some, it was a glorious ages. And they were martyrs for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Just as Stephen was the first martyr, he's been followed by thousands and thousands who have followed in his footsteps, proclaiming that Jesus was their Lord. And no matter what man did, their testimony could not be changed. Praise the Lord. And God give us grace that our testimony cannot be changed. He is Lord, and there's none other. Blessed be His name. Praise you, Jesus. We have a prayer meeting, Bible study, whatever, here on Saturday nights at 7:30, when the rest of you is not here. And we have prayer meeting Thursday at noon. Thursday's fast day, and we fast Thursday. Have prayer meeting at noon for prayer requests, like we did with some of you when you're here on Thursday. Why, you're aware of that. And then Sunday mornings, we have a 10 o'clock service on Sunday morning for those of us here that are here at the campground and whoever comes to join us. And then Sunday nights now, we have intercessory prayer here on Sunday nights. We just gather here and pray sometimes an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes even 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes we pray a while and the Spirit of the Lord moves and somebody starts to sing and we sing and praise and worship and pray some more. Just have a time of intercession before the Lord on Sunday evenings. So, if any of you travel this way or coming this way, why, you can kind of expect that to be the, I don't want to say program, but kind of the order that we follow. And weekday mornings through the week, why, we have prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. Here we pray for the nation and sing some courses and read some scripture. And pray for any needs that are pertinent at the time. Generally, it's about a half hour. We have had prayer meeting until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Things have been needed. The Spirit of the Lord's come down. We've had morning prayer meetings lasted until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We've had it last till 9 or 10 o'clock lots of times. But that's kind of the order of business here at the campground. And then we try to accomplish all the rest of the day and evening, all that we can to get taken care of. Books, getting the books written and on the computers and printed out, ready for the press and the brush cut and the rocks hauled. We don't have any rocks. It's just rock.
But we've moved thousands of yards of rock here on this place and filled in swamps and gullies and done with it. Cut down acres and acres of brush, and there's still many acres of it to cut down yet to turn this place into a place of beauty where Jesus is welcome. Amen. He's welcome. And I appreciate his presence and the presence of the Lord and the angels of the Lord. You can walk these grounds and lift your hands in prayer, and you'll feel God's presence on these grounds as you walk and pray. The glory of the Lord and his majesty. Hallelujah. Well, they've been waiting to feed you for quite a while. So I guess we'll let you go eat so we can come back and praise the Lord at 7 o'clock tonight. Father, I thank you for your presence. I praise you for it, Lord. I praise you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for giving us understanding and wisdom. Lord, and the tradition and the heirs of the elders, Lord, that we can come out from underneath these things.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.